Welcome to Impact, the Conservation Photography Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Heimbuch. And if you are a visual storyteller with a love for all things wild, then you're in the right place. From conservation to creativity, from business to marketing, and everything in between, this podcast is for you, the conservation visual storyteller who is ready to make an impact. Let's dive in. Welcome to this episode of Impact, the Conservation Photography Podcast. And this is a Joe episode. So Joe, welcome to the
Yay!
And this is going to be a really fun conversation because, as you know, I just got a new camera body.
I know. So how is it going? Have you been playing with it? Are you having a good time with it?
I'm having a blast with it. So I saved up and I got a Canon R3. It was like the instant that B&H sent me the notification that it was available to buy. I got all excited.
God, so this is, you just cracked me up because I felt like I was getting a text every second. It's in New York. Okay, it's left New York. Okay, it's over the Rockies. Okay, it's actually on the Pacific Coast. I mean, I felt like you were like, well, is it at my door? When's it at my door? It's at my door.
I know. I opened up the door and I think I kind of scared the delivery guy because I was like, hello, I've been waiting for you all day.
That's really lucky that you didn't get like, you know, some sort of suit against you or something.
That lady's weird. We don't deliver. Yeah, she has to come in for her packages.
Right,
we don't deliver to that house anymore.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I haven't made a purchase of this scale in a very long time. And so just the excitement of being like, oh my gosh, there is this new tool / toy that's on its way. And I was really impressed. I think I ordered it on Tuesday and it was here on Thursday or something insane, or it was here on Friday. I mean, it was bananas because I wanted it to be able to have it in hand before holiday travel because I knew I was going to come see you and we have to go out and go photograph and play with our toys.
We had to go look at birds and try and photograph things and see what was going to work and what didn't, and the monarch butterflies, and that was great. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I'm not a fan of GAS, gear acquisition syndrome, or using equipment as a reason for like taking part in photography. Like, oh, I can't take these great pictures until I have this piece of equipment or whatever. And I think that's why I waited a really long time to upgrade any equipment is because I'm like, well, just make what you can with what you have. You don't need more. Like, do your best with what you've got. But I was talking to someone at NAMPA and he said that he had gotten the R5 and he's not a tech nerd, like equipment nerd at all. And so he doesn't really pay attention to all that stuff, but he went ahead and upgraded to the R5 and was like, and oh my gosh, I'm just so excited about like, I'm making shots that are way more creative. I'm having more fun than I've had in a really long time. And I thought, if he's saying that, there's something to this. And he was right. I've been having a blast with this R3.
When we went out and we walked by that night heron and he was like 6 feet away and you're just taking all of these shots and not a sound coming out of that camera. And you turn to me and go, aren't you going to do anything? No, hell no. I'm going to, the minute mic goes off, it's going to go click, 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 scare the thing away. So it was just amazing watching, you know, you go, oh shoot, my card's already filled up. Because
it was hysterical because we were photographing, I think it was the bush tits on the sagebrush.
Yes.
And I'm standing there photographing one and you must have been getting your settings ready or something because I'm photographing it and it's doing its thing. And then all of a sudden it goes, oh my God, and leaves right when your shutter goes off. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to have to worry about doing that anymore. Yep. This is so awesome.
That's exactly why I didn't do it because that was the next day when we went out. I was like, okay, this isn't good. She's not going to lose this opportunity. Not this time.
Yeah, that was really, really fun. Well, so I'm glad that we're talking about how much fun I've been having with this camera because it leads right into our topic of the day. And the topic of the day is kind of building up this creative muscle and loosening up and limbering up creative muscle for being able to create photo stories. Because what I see happen so often, and I know I've done it as well, is we start to think about a photo story and really psych ourselves out. and say, oh, but I've got to make it really big and it has to be important. I have to get these epic images and I don't know how to do that. And so you start to like psych yourself out. And especially when it comes to photographing people doing stuff, I know this is a big struggle with my students when they first come in to Conservation Photography 101, because a lot of my students are wildlife photographers. And then when we start to go into photo stories, often there's people involved.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And am I posing or not posing? And are you caring or not caring? I bet. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And so because I'm having so much fun with this camera, I did something that I'd been thinking about for a while, but never really got the gumption to and was just like, oh, I'll do it later. But now that I have this camera, I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this, which is Nick, my partner.
What you don't see is her little happy dance when she's saying, oh, I'm going to do this. But okay, keep going.
I'm really glad that this is a podcast and not a YouTube because I can be a complete dork. But so Nick, my partner, he loves to shape surfboards. And in the basement downstairs, he has these little rooms set up. So he has a shaping room and a glassing room to be able to make surfboards. And so I've been really wanting to do just a little photo essay about him in his craft and kind of a photo essay about the surfboard shaper, like a basement surfboard shaper and someone who's just super, super into this craft and hadn't done it yet. But the other day.
So what's a photo essay?
Okay, so a photo essay. So there's a difference between a photo essay and a photo story. A photo story is something that has characters and a narrative arc, and it's got, you know, an intro and it's got a conclusion of some sort. It's really what we think about like when we read a novel or when we tell stories to each other. But with photos, you're really illustrating that story, but you're illustrating characters and locations and process and actions and all this other stuff. With a photo essay, it's a lot more on the kind of artistic side. It's really something that is a collection of images that's based around a theme. Okay. So you don't have to have this narrative arc, but you do have to have some sort of visual variety. They have to really kind of go together. Uh-huh. So yeah, so I wanted to do a photo essay about Nick and surfboard shaping because I'm not really thinking in terms of story. There's not a story that I'm excited about, but I am excited about the idea of documenting who he is as a surfboard shaper, what it looks like, kind of what the vibe is. Because the thing that's really cool is the way that you shape surfboards is you have these very bright lights that are sort of at like hip level. So as you shape a surfboard, which is at about even with these lights, you can see all the angles of the foam. Oh. It casts these crazy, crazy shadows. So you get to see all these very dramatic angles and light and all this stuff because that's how he can see the very subtle curves and things that's going on. And then it's also just chaos because there's foam dust everywhere and there's tools everywhere and there's this and that. And so it's a really interesting scene. But again, I'm not trying to create a story about here's the surfboard maker who did this cool thing and, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. I'm just like, here's someone at their craft.
Right.
And that ultimately can be a really compelling story. Like you could create a photo essay that has a compelling story in the text alongside it. But I just want to create a collection of images.
So basically you're using this as a reason to work and work your creative muscles, you said.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Thank you. You're getting me back on track. So what I was mentioning earlier is like we get ourselves really hyped up and stressed out when we start to photograph stories and stories that have people in them. And it's super easy to do that. Super easy to build something up, make it feel stressful, scary. There's a lot of pressure, overwhelming, even unwieldy in the types of images we want to get. But you can really help yourself out by flexing and building these creative muscles when it comes to these little micro stories or these little photo essays or these little things that you can do in an hour of shooting and a few hours of post-processing that help you build the way that you see a scene and capture a scene and get comfortable photographing people, get comfortable being, you know, kind of a fly on the wall with a camera as someone does something. And then you can use that kind of muscle memory in the photo story shoots that you do. Okay. And that way, photo stories don't have to be so heady.
So you're practicing getting your mind and your eye and everything sort of trained to see opportunities and to know what to do with them when you see them and understand how people move and what they're going to do and what it means to be able to look at something going on maybe from the top versus at the bottom versus from straight on and all of that kind of stuff.
Yes.
You wouldn't necessarily do with just wildlife, for instance, because exactly. You might be looking at different things for wildlife as example or some other conservation subject.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And that was what I was noticing when I was photographing Nick, is I was like, man, this is a really great reminder of how much you use your storytelling photo composition skills, even in these little practice sessions at home. Because while I'm in this very small room, it's probably, I don't know, maybe like 8x12 or 10x12, something like that. So while I'm in this room, I'm thinking, oh yeah, this is kind of what it feels like to try and stay out of the way of, you know, a researcher, a scientist, or someone who's doing some work, because you don't want to accidentally bump into something and damage
right.
foam or distract him. Yeah. There's a lot of calculations and really careful measuring. So I didn't want to distract him from anything that he was doing. And so I was practicing those skills. I was practicing how many different images can I make in a 10x12 room or however mm-hmm. big it is, where nothing's really shifting. It's just one guy moving around the space doing these tiny little movements or tiny little adjustments with this.
Right.
And so it was really cool to see, man, if photographers who are excited about making photo stories but feel overwhelmed by them, if they were to take maybe one or two of these opportunities a month and practice that, it's going to be a massive confidence booster.
And so, how long did you take to do this? Like an hour, you said, or something?
Yeah. So I took about an hour. So I just ran, Nick was working in the basement. I ran downstairs and said, hey, do you mind if I just photograph you for a bit? And I spent about an hour and 10 minutes between when I headed down there and when he was done working on the surfboards. There was nothing else to do. And so it was literally just 1 hour. And I ended up with a total of about 26, I'll have to look in Lightroom. I think it's 26 very different images that show a lot of personality, a uh-huh. lot of what the scene looks like, because there's all this dramatic light and all these angles and things. I transitioned everything into black and white. So I used a lot of creativity in the preset that I use that mimics black and white film, because I used to shoot in black and white film like back uh-huh. in the day. And so it's fun to go and play with that and try and mimic the look of black and white film and make it moody. And yeah, it was an hour of shooting and probably about, I'd say probably about 3 hours or so of editing. And so I kind of wanted to walk you through some of what I was thinking about while I was actually photographing the scene in order to get visually diverse images. And then also I wanted to walk you through some of the editing process.
Okay.
The idea of like, how did I go from a huge pile of images to just a handful of different images that feel like a pretty solid photo essay that I'm proud of and excited about. And that helped me practice those skills. Does that sound good?
So tell us about that, Jamie. That sounds great. No, that sounds very good. Yeah. Especially because it sounds like it's something that can be very spontaneous and actually mm-hmm. not take up a lot of time. And you could do a 15-minute shoot, or you could do a 2-hour shoot, whatever energy level and time frame you have.
But yeah.
It's a good workout for what trying to feel comfortable in this kind of space. So, mm-hmm.
And I think that's yeah. what's important to remember about trying to do an exercise. So if you're thinking, yeah, photo stories kind of feel big, but I know I want to dip my toe into this and start to build confidence in it, this is a great exercise to do. And again, like, look for these little micro stories. Your spouse making breakfast for the kids, mm-hmm. your dog having a field day out in the yard, you know, an hour of your dog's life in the yard. If you know someone who does a craft, like Joe, you're a potter. So if I yeah. were visiting you, I'd be like, hey, would you mind making a mug? And I can yeah. photograph you while you make a mug. If you have a birding group, you know, photograph what it's like to go on an outing with them. It's these little like micro moments, these little things that you could do that might take an hour or a couple hours at the most. And you start to practice what it is to see as a storyteller, see as a visual storyteller, and start to think about the difference between, okay, so that's a photo essay. I can create this really visually diverse portfolio that shows a theme or who someone is. And how might I develop that into a story? Is there more of a story here, something that I might develop into something that has more of a narrative arc? So it gives you all this practice.
So tell us what processing you used to go through all of this. Because okay. it sounds like you walked away, even though it's something that you've had a lot of practice in and kind of do naturally almost now, that you have this conscious thought process of what you went through and stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, okay. I have to be really honest here. And that is, it's been a long time since I've actually headed out and photographed a story with my camera, because I've been so wrapped up in everything that I want to do with my students and teaching them and helping them get out and create these stories that I've just completely prioritized that. And so it's been a while since I've been like, okay, it's Jamie photo time right now. And so I got really excited for kind of getting back into that vibe a lot. And so I have to say, even though it's been a long time since I've photographed a story, because I've built those muscles in the past, it was great to feel them come right back. And so I walked away from this exercise feeling, I know it sounds silly, but I felt really proud of myself and really excited about the photos and really like creatively fired up. And I'm kind of like, okay, go make another surfboard, or okay, I've had enough of that, but I'm ready to go photograph, you know, something out on the creek, you know, my favorite creek that I want to go visit. So at any rate, what I think—
No, you don't sound excited at all.
But so as I got down there, some of the storytelling mindset that came up that I think could be really helpful for listeners thinking about this, like, okay, you're in a tiny room with someone doing a craft. So the first thing I did when I walked into this room was sort of took a photo of the scene as it was, the whole scene. I used a 24 millimeter lens. It's very close proximity, and so I wanted to have a nice wide angle lens. So I used a 24 millimeter lens, and I just started to photograph, okay, this person doing this thing. So it's a pretty wide photograph of Nick drawing lines on a surfboard, and he was putting in fin boxes. And so there's a router being used and a ruler being used, and there's drawing lines with a pencil and that sort of thing. So I just sort of started to assess that. And then I thought, okay, well, what if I make a photo that's more from the same vantage point, but it's about Nick? Okay, well, I'm going to shoot in a shallow depth of field, but have him in focus. Well, now I'm going to do the same photo, but it's really about the surfboard. So all I do is same shallow depth of field, but I focus on the surfboard itself. Same composition, but now because of where the viewer's eye goes, there's a shot that's about the maker and there's a shot about the board itself, this object that's being made. And then I started to move around the room a little bit more and, okay, well, there's a bit of process that's going on and I'm capturing that. What are the tools that are being used? Wow, there's a lot of foam dust on all of this. Is there a really interesting way that I can show how much dust is on everything that's kind of interesting? And of the tools that are being used, are there any that kind of have some personality to them? Something that I might want to show. And Nick's notebook was laying open with dimensions of the board that he was making. And oh, I want to make sure and photograph those kind of detail shots. Okay, so I've done that. And now that I start to have some bearing, I start to feel kind of confident, like, okay, I know what this space looks like. Because honestly, yes, we live together, but I'm rarely ever in that room. I just kind of see it every once in a while when I go down to tell them that dinner's ready or something. So this was really the first time that I was in the space paying attention to it. So once I felt like I was comfortable in the space and I had some basic shots down, I thought, okay, well, what about this person is really interesting to me? What's it like for him to do this craft? What kind of gets him excited about making a surfboard? Or what is he doing right now where you can really tell that love of the craft is coming out? So I started to pay attention to some movements that he was doing or these details that he was engaging in. And one of the details was he started to write out the dimensions of the board on the board itself because it was done being shaped and he was about to move it into the next room to start glassing it. And so there's all these little touches. So, oh, he's writing on this foam. So I'm going to go ahead and get some details of what that looks like. And he writes these little notes to himself that no one will ever see once the board is done, but they're just these little thoughts. And so the last board that he made, when he put the fin boxes in, he accidentally messed it up and was really frustrated about that. So this time, as he's moving about doing the fin boxes, he wrote inside one of the fin boxes, "Don't F this one up." And so I made sure to get a detail shot of that because it's a lot of personality that comes out in those moments. Also, I noticed...
Hold on. I want to interrupt you for a second. Okay. So first you basically thought about it in terms of just the space itself. Mm-hmm. And then you started thinking about it in terms of the subject of what you're photographing. You were changing the subject. And then you thought a little bit more about then the other senses that were going on in the room with the dust and the feeling of stuff. And then you shifted to the mindset of the crafter it sounds like, mm-hmm. including don't F this one up. So it sounds like there's a lot of different, and all of those just because of the experience you had, they just sort of came out when you were doing this by mm-hmm. because you've done this several times. So it's like, okay, I'm going to start from this aspect, then I'm going to move to this, then I'm going to move to that.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to catch up because there's all of this really cool stuff going on and it's like, whoa, that's a lot of information.
Well, that proves what a good listener you are because you literally repeated everything that I went through and it's like, oh, she's really paying attention. That's awesome. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And part of it is it's not, you know, a secret or it's not some crazy masterful skill. It's more like, okay, I'm done with this scene.
Yeah.
I've gotten photos of it. What else? What else? What else? So it's sort of like having that mindset of being like, okay, I know I've got a shot in the bag. What can I do that's different and start to move on? And so every time you feel like, okay, I think I'm done. I got the shot I'm thinking of. How else can I show this? What else is going on? And it's just a matter of really paying attention, not only paying attention to the scene itself, but paying attention to why you're actually taking images. What do you want to accomplish here? And I know that I don't just want to take snapshots. I want to create photographs that are about the craft that this person is doing. And so that's what I started to really dig into was, well, okay, I got a couple of detail shots of some equipment. Now, anything else I take is going to be boring. What other detail shots are there? Oh, well, there's that message to himself. There was, as he was doing some kind of final touches of using this like sort of metal sandpaper thing on the edge, all this foam was like kind of flowing up into the backlight. And so there's all this backlit foam. So I started to play with that. Another thing that I started to play with was, well, I've gotten all of these sharp, very static shots with quick enough shutter speeds. What if I use some motion blur? Mm. And so he started to spray off the surfboard to get all of the foam dust off of it. And so you see all of that kind of blowing up as he's moving things around. And so I used a 40th of a second so I could focus on just his face as the sharp thing in the scene, but then everything else is moving and blurring around. And so I just played with that. I played as much as I could with whatever was going on. Now, I should say the whole time, I'm not directing him on anything of whatever to do. I'm trying my best to not be there.
Right. What I was just thinking is that you're adjusting as he's going through his process. It's not a photo shoot. You are shooting what he's doing. Mm-hmm. So you're telling this story and he's just going along doing his thing and you're having to think, okay, how could I look at this differently and adjust on the fly based on what's presented to you. So now you've got this, you know, dust flying up and it's like, ooh, motion blur. Okay. I just think that's really cool that you could sit there and just do this mind shift of here's an opportunity. I'm going to look at it like this. I'm going to try and capture this way, as opposed to just documenting the process as it goes along.
Well, and that's, I think once you get to a certain experience level, it's really easy to recognize like, oh yeah, this is just documenting process and there's not going to be anything unique.
Yeah.
And so it pushes you, especially because this is something that has zero pressure attached to it. It's not like I'm turning these into an editor for a magazine. There's no pressure. And so I get to be like, oh, but that's kind of boring to me. So what can I go play with? What would make it feel like I'm creating shots that feel unique to me? And yeah, and so you're really adjusting on the fly. And because this is a super chaotic scene, I'm paying attention to what's going on in the background. And there's no control that I have over that. I'm not going to go adjust wires or move tools or I'm not going to change the environment at all, which means that I have to think about as I'm composing this in very tight quarters, okay, well, is there a wire going through his head in the background? How can I move my body to be able to do this? And granted, I'm not going to catch all of those.
That's how it's going to be is if you're on a fishing boat or you're in a researcher's lab or you're, you know, out in the swamps and, you know, whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah. And so he went from the shaping room into the glassing room. So basically these are just like areas with tarps designating them as rooms. So he takes the board into the shaping room. And then there's a moment where he's staring at the board, sipping his coffee cup. And then there's a moment when our dog Niner pokes his head through the tarp and is like, hey, what are you guys doing? So I'm noticing all these little things that you have to, as you practice and practice and practice, you start to get quicker at being like, this is a moment. What are my settings? How do I compose it? This is a moment. What are my settings? How do I compose it? This is a moment. And so you can capture those because a lot of
times. See, that's why you get paid to do that, because I do that and then it takes me 5 minutes to go figure out the settings. So that's what it's worth the practice, right? I mean, you know, because the fact that you have that ability to just go zip, 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 zip. And change it. But with the new camera, you had to learn all of that new stuff.
Exactly. Right? And that's what's so much fun about learning a new piece of equipment is you're settling into where buttons are and settings and everything. But everybody starts there.
Right.
Everybody starts at feeling clumsy and slow and missing everything. And I missed shots too. There were moments where he did the dust blowing thing the first time and everything's super swirly. And I'm like, this is cool. I'm going to get it. And, you know, and he turns the board over and it wasn't as swirly. And I'm like, oh well, what I got, I got something that worked, but it's not as swirly. Okay. Well, whatever. But yeah, you're really, and that's the beauty of these little, I'm going to take an hour to photograph a person doing a thing is you just build these muscles. Yeah. And it makes you so confident when you know that you're going to go photograph a story and you have a shoot with one person and you're going to go and like, let's say you're photographing a story about bird research and you know you've got a field day with a scientist and they're going to do some bird netting. That can make you feel really freaked out, right? But if you've got enough of this practice, you're like, I know, I trust my creative muscle memory that when I'm in that moment, I'm going to be able to work the scene. I'm going to get a diversity of shots. I'm going to be able to get storytelling moments and capture them quickly. And you build all of that trust in this. So,
well, and I love this example too, because it shows that it's something that, especially if it's a situation that happens a lot, like it's not like he only does one board and then he never does one in a, you know, for a year. He's down there all the time. So you could go down there and do it again and do it again and do it again. And it's like, oh, this is what it's like when there's a lot of contrasting light. Oh, this is what it's like when there's lots of swirly dust. This is what it's like when there isn't, you know, and so every time, even though he's doing the same thing technically, it's not, because you can then focus on the different parts of things that you want to practice too.
Yeah, that 1,000%. And so if someone's listening to this and thinking, this sounds like fun, I want to try it. Yeah, maybe land on something that people around you do repeatedly, or it's a person who does something repeatedly, whether it is a craft that they do or a hike in the woods that you do all the time. Yeah. Or, you know, something that happens a lot, because then you can start to think, okay, I went and I got these photos in that hour. How might I do this differently? Or what did I miss that I want to try for again? And all of that is creative muscle building.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even different times of the day or different kind of weather or all kinds of different situations that could come up that you're practicing a different aspect of building
and,
that.
Yes. And you start to notice how much you notice things too. And so you start to have some confidence and trust in yourself that you're going to notice those compositional moments. Cause like there were moments in the shaping room with all this dramatic light where I was noticing, oh, it's doing this really cool, like diagonal thing. And oh, that's a something. There were these little fractions of moments that went by where it was not even about what was happening in the scene. It was how all of the lights and darks were coming together to build something very like just that looked dramatic and cool and kind of graphic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. So I did that for an hour. Guess what? I come back upstairs with my memory card full. I took 1,800 photos in an hour. I am not someone who is precious
you
with my shots.
You need to set your camera to make noise now.
Well, there's so many photographers or people out there who are like, oh, you know, you have to wait for the decisive moment. And if you, I feel like you're just making it this really precious process. And yes, there is something to be said about being very strategic with the shots that you take. Like there's a workshop, Missouri Photo Workshop. And one of the limitations they said is you have to create a photo story within 400 frames. And the purpose is that they're making you think critically about every shot that you're taking. That is a cool exercise. I love that.
I remember you telling me about that, and that looks so hard to do.
So hard, right? And I love that as an exercise. I think it's really valuable, but I'm the type of person where I'm like, I just want to make sure I walk away from something knowing that I've got what I need. So I'm not worried about taking a whole bunch of pictures, you know.
But you pay for it on the other end. I mean, you put your energy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you're either putting your energy in at the front end or you're putting it in at the back end.
Yeah, we might want to rephrase that. This is a PG podcast, Joe.
Okay. Yeah, we'll think of something else.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so I came back upstairs, and with 1,800 photos, an hour's worth of shooting was probably 3+ hours of editing. And in fact, the next day, I was supposed to be writing emails, and Nick comes in, and he's like, "Are you working?" I'm like, "Technically, what are you doing?" "What, editing photos?" Because I couldn't resist getting my hands in this. But I do want to walk you through some of what that editing process looks like, because you might go and do this for an hour and you're practicing these creative skills, but then you're going to come back, get on the computer, and you need to be able to see what you have. And are you creating the images that you think you're creating in the field? Because sometimes that happens, right? You think you're creating this like epic photo, and then you get it on the computer and you're like, "Womp, womp."
Sometimes that happens to me all the time. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Wah, wah is part of my whole repertoire.
I enjoy your images for what it's worth. But yes, you get on the computer and you're like, okay, is what I thought I was making in my head in the camera actually what I'm getting? And how do I go through these and think strategically? Because the goal is also not only the shoot itself, but it's curating a photo essay about something, right? And so you want to have some visual diversity in there. And I do have a whole podcast episode, I'll link to it in the show notes, about my 5-step strategy for editing a portfolio so that it's not this burdensome thing. Because one of the things that I've seen repeatedly from students in my in-person workshop is they're coming back from their day of photographing, getting their images in Lightroom and going through them one by one by one by one, and judging them one by one. And wow, if you want to turn an hour into 8 hours of processing, sure, that's your strategy. But I don't want to do that. I want to turn an hour of shooting into a couple of hours of editing. And so I have a different way of looking at it, because you can look at every single image and decide, is it sharp enough? Is it how I like it? Da-da-da-da-da. The way that I like to look at images is, are the images in the series that I took, are any of them even close to the composition that could work? Are any of them kind of messing something up where it's not even worth looking at them one by one? Because I can see from my thumbnails that they all kind of suck. So I'm going to move on to the next one. So, you know, like I said, I took a ton of photos because I'm moving around and I'm playing and playing with different settings and everything, but I might be playing with different settings with the same composition. So one of the things that I do is I look at my images at like 3 or 4 across in Lightroom. So I'm looking at probably a batch of 12 at a time as I'm scrolling. And so, for example, I took a series of images with the surfboard leading me into the scene, across the scene to Nick. But I noticed that all the surfboard shots like that were off kilter. Like the surfboard was way off center and I wasn't going to be able to adjust the crop to center it the way I wanted. So I'm like, oh, cool. 15 photos I don't even look at, because they're just, okay. That didn't work at all. There was another set where there was the way that I framed it had a light coming in, and I didn't notice that for a while. So I probably took maybe 6 or 7 images of this one scene that had a light coming in at the top that was just so distracting. And so in the moment, I noticed it and I reframed and made it so that that light was cut out. So in the editing of this, I'm like, oh, I know those are there. I don't even have to look at those, because I already know that in the moment I was like, oops, never mind. That's not going to work. I'm going to skip over them and look at the ones that I framed without the light in them. And so it makes it go by so much faster when you're really thinking, you're just editing with brute force. You are being brutal to yourself and just saying, look, if it doesn't look good as a thumbnail, it's not going to look good when I zoom in. So I don't even need to zoom in yet. If it looks good as a thumbnail, okay, now I'm going to give it a second look. So I go through it thumbnail view and just give 1 star to any image that might be worth looking at large later.
So then you're basically looking at the composition as a whole. You're not worried mm-hmm. about whether or not it was sharp enough, or you're going to change the light, or maybe you'll crop it or something. You're just looking at the general composition.
Totally.
And then deciding, that's a composition I like, that's a composition I don't like.
Yeah, exactly. And okay. Then also, like, am I giving 1 star to too many of the same type of photo? So how many of these photos are verticals with the surfboard taking up 2/3 of the frame?
Right.
Okay, well, I don't need to one star five of those. I'm only ever going to use one anyway. So why don't I look at one of the best out of all of the series that I took and just give that a one star? I'll look at, maybe I'll do that with two, maybe three, but I'm going to kind of minimize that. And so that speeds it up a lot. So I went through 1800 photos going through and thinking, okay, what compositions are cool? Am I getting enough variety in here? I want to make sure that I've got variety. I'm not going to give a one star to a bunch of images that look the same, like I just said. Mm-hmm. So once I did that, I had about 300 images that got one star. So out of 1800, I had 300. So I don't know what percentages that is. I don't do quick math in my head, but it's a lot less. I know that much.
It's about one sixth.
Okay. One sixth. Thank you, Joe. Okay. My bookkeeper data nerd. I appreciate that. So I had 300. So then I go in at thumbnail size to those 300 and I start to weed out any obvious ones that are just like, eh, those are really similar. Oh, that one's not really as good as I thought, whatever it might be. But the way that I weed those out is I actually give 2 stars to the strongest ones, the ones where I'm like, okay, that I think I want to go edit and play with. I think I want to post-process that. I want to play with the crop. I want to play with the lighting. That's something that I actually want to play with inside Lightroom. So that gets 2 stars. Anything that it just isn't as strong, it's just going to stay 1 star because I might want to go back. I might want to change decisions. And so I just leave it as 1 star, but I give 2 stars to anything else. And so here is where I'm really starting to narrow down the ones that look like they have some real potential. And I want to make sure that I'm not, like I said, having too many images that are all kind of the same idea. So I'm weeding out any images that are, okay, I already have a bunch of detail shots. Which of these are the detail shots that are different from each other and add to the concept, you know, the photo essay theme? And so I'm going to give 2 stars to maybe 3 of those detail shots. And are they really different from each other? Do they add to showing different sides of the personality of the surfboard shaper?
So I like the idea too that you're adding on stars, not deleting. Mm-hmm. So in the sense that it truly is narrowing it down, but I can let go of it because I can always go back. It's not going forever. Because that's my biggest fear, right? It's like, but what I'm only at image, 342, and what if I get to 653 and it's better? I like this idea that it's okay because, 341 is still there. You can go back and get it. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I have the same fear. And that's why I never delete images because I'm like, but what if? Yeah. And there's always these moments. Because the other thing that's really interesting is when you're going through this the first time, you might be in one mindset or one creative vision for what you want to do with this photo essay. Give it 6 months, you might come back with a different creative vision of what you want to do. And you don't want to go through 1800 photos again. Maybe you only want to go through those 300.
So, I got to say, I love that you say that because I noticed that there's this ownership or this connectedness that I'll have to a photo or a set of photos that I just can't let go of. But if I come back a month later, I'm not as attached to that moment and I can look at it more objectively and be able to say, but well, people other than me really care about this. And so I love that idea, that space of knowing that sometimes going back and looking is not that bad.
I do that all the time. I just think, oh, this is the most amazing shot, or, oh, this one's awful. And then I'll go back later and be like, oh, this one's actually pretty good. And that one that I thought was amazing, So So that's the 2-star phase. And then I'll go in and actually start to post-process the 2 stars because by now I've narrowed it down from 300 1-star photos to 60 2-star photos. I ended up with 60. And not because I'm aiming for a certain number. It's just like that's what ended up. I want to try and get that down to the ones where if I'm going to take the time to post-process something, it better be a pretty good photo to start with. And so I got it down to about 60. And then from there, I thought, okay, I think I'm going to want to play with some of these. And as I started to play with a couple of them, I figured out, oh, here's how I'm sort of sinking into the theme of this photo essay. And I realized that I really loved very, how do I say this? Like the images that I loved the most, the theme that I was building were the images that had the most dramatic shapes and lines and contrast between light and shadow. So once I figured that out, as I started to play with a couple of them, I thought, all right, I'm ready for phase three. And phase three was the three-star phase, I guess, is, all right, now I know I'm looking for the images that fit this theme that I want for this photo essay.
So you found a connectedness between them that you liked. Mm-hmm. And that's then how you're going to then shrink it down the next stage.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what I did was I went through it and thought, okay, I know that that is the connectedness that I want. I want the compositions that feel like there's a lot of lines and shape and dramatic light. But I also want story in there. So I still want a lot of what are the moments that show personality? What are the moments that show the quirks of this person and, you know, this scene and everything? And so I started to think, okay, as I'm narrowing it down, I want to make sure that I'm showing as many facets of that as possible. So again, I'm weeding out, well, how many detail shots do I have and how many would I really need in a photo essay to add to the photo essay rather than start to, because once you add too many images to a collection, you can actually water down their impact. Mm-hmm. So you want to be really strategic because you want each photo to add to the impact, not start to water it down and be like, oh, great, there's another, like you end up watching, you know, someone's slideshow of their vacation, like, oh, yeah, there's another shot. Okay, aren't we done yet?
Yeah.
So I did that with this where, okay, I'm going to see what of these add and what of them take away. And that took a little while. So it probably took me a good hour to make critical decisions, but I narrowed it down to 26. I knew that I wanted it to be a reasonably tight portfolio of images. And I felt pretty comfortable around 26. And from there, I know, okay, if I were going to create a very tight photo story or photo essay about this, I could probably make that more like 8 to 10. But I have a nice set of 26 images that are the best of the lot that I can definitely post-process, that give the visual diversity that I want, has the theme that I want, shows the personality and the craft and all of the stuff that I want. But it's still kind of a big enough portfolio that if I have to get really nitty gritty to choose like the shots for, let's say it's going in a publication, there's plenty of room to play with what actually ends up with those final ones. So that was the process to go from 1800, I think it was 1886 to 26 photos.
Nice. Nice. I don't know that math. That one would be
too. No, that's
yeah. Yeah.
I need to like find my little calculator app on my phone to do that.
Yeah. Wow. So, what did you take away in terms of that, the whole thing you went with? So what muscle memories, what things did you learn? What kinds of things did you re-energize that you weren't expecting?
Okay. Well, so that's a really great question. And I don't want my answer to sound too cheesy, but honestly, what I walked away with is what I hope any listener listening to this who goes and does this will walk away with, which is I felt really good about myself as a photographer. And no one has to like these images. I will go ahead I think it's only fair to actually post these images in the show notes so people can see what we're talking about. So there's going to be a little gallery in the show notes of these images, but even if nobody liked these images, even if they never saw the light of day, I was really proud of myself because, like I said, it's been a while since I picked up the camera to photograph anything in a very purposeful way. I think the last time I assisted on a shoot where I was doing any shooting was last May for a film assignment.
Oh,
so
my,
we're talking like a year and a half or something since I've been a shooter on something. And so to be able to pick up my camera and fall into, okay, I noticed this. Okay, now I need to change my thinking about this. And okay, am I getting enough variety? Well, what's the meaning of this image? What's the purpose it's going to serve? Are there other elements of personality? Like am I creating a storytelling shot or am I just taking a snapshot? And all of these things that started to kind of be like, oh, so yeah, your brain is still remembering what to think about when you're behind the camera in a situation. Your body is remembering what to do too, because you're remembering settings and all of that. But then in the editing process, actually seeing that collection of 26 and seeing the variety that was there and seeing what I actually made about this person who does this craft and all these little moments that popped up kind of on the fly that add to that personality, seeing that made me feel really great about, oh yeah, I can walk into a photo story and that might have 5 shoots associated with it or even 2 shoots associated with it. And I know that I'm going to be able to get what's needed for the story and to practice that.
So you got to go do, do, do instead of wah, wah.
Yes.
So that's good.
And that is done with an hour of photographing my partner doing a craft. right. you know, that he's doing all the time. And this is something that anyone can do. And so what I walked away with, I hope that if anyone listening says, oh, I could do an hour of trying this out, that you walk away with that feeling too. And even if you try this and you're like, so that didn't go so well, but I'm going to try it again, then I think that that's a huge win too.
Well, and also there's always going to be something that you learned. So even if you didn't, it didn't come out the way you envisioned, now you understand what it is that you want to go look for the next time.
Great point.
So even though it may not necessarily be the finished thing that you would go use three times from now, you're going to feel so much more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. That's a really great point. You're absolutely right. Because no matter what, you're going to be thinking critically about what you captured and, oh, I noticed that I was doing too much of this, or I'm always too far away from my subject, or
right.
I get way too much of this type of shot. One of the things that I do all the time, I'm so glad that there's a level on my camera, is whenever I try and do vertical shots, I think uh-huh. that I'm being parallel to the horizon, but I'm so not. Oh, they turn out yeah. really wonky. So it's like, oh yeah, that shoot reminded me I have to go back into being really careful with noticing, are my horizon lines straight? Because right. I'm always off kilter, but I don't know that in the moment.
Yeah.
So you're going to yeah. learn little things like that. You're going to learn quirks about yourself. You're going to learn... Yeah, just there's so yeah. much that you will learn so every single time.
Spin them into the positives of, oh, I didn't do this, but oh, it's like, oh, I'm going to go practice that next time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And it won't be scary to do because you're not doing it in anything that anybody's going to judge. You're yeah. just doing it for yourself.
Yeah, so to, zero
to
pressure.
Get that workout right. Yeah,
yeah, perfect.
Nice, Jamie. Thank you.
Oh, thanks.
I'm ready to go out now.
I know I always, this felt a little bit self-indulgent because I'm always into like, here are your three steps or here right. is the process or whatever. And this felt like a story of just my experience, but I do hope that it is really good advice that folks can run with because I had a blast. It was so much
great.
Fun.
That's great.
Awesome. Cool. Well, Joe, thank you so much for listening to this and for adding all of your thoughts in too. You bring up so many great points and I really appreciate that.
Oh, sure.
All right. Well, everyone, I hope you enjoyed this episode and we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you so much for listening to the very end of this episode. And I want to give you a reward for the attention and the dedication that you just showed. I have made something extra special for you. It is a 45-second quiz that reveals your unique personality as a visual storyteller. See, as photographers and filmmakers, we all have our own unique creative strengths as well as some weaknesses to be aware of. And this quiz will not only reveal your creative super strengths, but also provide you with a customized action plan to put those strengths into action. You can head to jamieh.com/quiz to find out your unique storyteller personality. That's jamieh.com/quiz. I hope that you have so much fun learning about the unique personality that you bring to your storytelling.